He is out of control.
And he just got crippled. And he just got hammered.
Oh, he just got totaled.
He just took a shot. And he just took him out.
Oh, he just levels him.
He nearly took his head off. Now, I don't think he ever saw him coming.
He really nails him.
He just ripped his head off.
What was his helmet? Looked like his head.
Hey, he can't do that.
Hey, he can't do that.
Oh, man, I think his bone just popped out. You hate to see that. Arnie, can we look at that one again?
Oh, I can feel that one up here.
I don't think that's legal.
I don't think that's legal!
Now, folks, if you got a weak stomach, don't watch this. I love this stuff.
This week in Your Parents' Basement, we are elbow-dropping opposing players well after the whistle as we play Midway's NFL Blitz from 1997. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the co-host that likes nothing more than getting behind a bent-over center. He also sometimes likes to play football. It's Todd Brisket.
You know, any sport is better if you have a turbo button.
Yes. And our other regular co-host, he's the greatest Eagles player since Kevin Kolb. It's Huell Howser.
And this is just a beautiful day for just about anything, folks.
Oh, God, I love the announcer in this game. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. Today's game is NFL Blitz. Released in 1997, NFL Blitz is basically the NBA Jam version of professional football. It's fast-paced pickup and play, and it's 7-on-7 football with an emphasis on passing and bone-jarring hits. It's like the modern-day NFL, but with slightly less concussions. So this was a classic game for me growing up, mostly on the Nintendo 64. Huell, did you have any experience with this one?
So I've brought up in the past that one of my go-to jams in my formative years was NHL Hits, also by Midway, and which was the hockey version of NFL Blitz. But playing NFL Blitz, I mostly played it at other people's houses. It was not a game that I owned personally, but it was an N64 game that got a lot of play. A lot of play in the old Huell gaming groups. And it is a delight, for sure. It's just such a great take, such a great change of pace from
the
stuffy simulation Madden.
It's a true arcade version of the sport.
And there is an arcade version, which I have never played. I did only play the N64 version, but I'm sure the arcade version is a lot of fun too.
I think it's basically the same game.
Yeah, it's pretty much exactly the same.
The only difference I could see is a ton more announcer voice acting in either the arcade or Dreamcast version, believe it or not, since that uses discs. But there is a little bit of announcer in the N64 one, but it's mostly like calling a pass or a catch or saying what down it is.
Yeah. The N64 announcer is way toned down from.
Yeah.
I just don't know if that's because Nintendo was a little stuffier about that or just because, you know, the arcade version and the Dreamcast, you know, those were just a little higher quality.
Well, there's not many Nintendo 64 games that are voice acted.
The thing, it's strictly space. Like you don't have space on the game cartridge.
On the cart, the cartridge,
cart, the game cart to store voice acting. Yeah. So on the Dreamcast one, you have like a CD of a disc, so you can store plenty. And in an arcade, you have whatever amount of storage you need.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason I would say on the N64 is there's just no space on the cart. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the production costs just don't outweigh the actual money making.
Mm-hmm. Now the announcers,
those are business terms, by the way.
Oh yes,
money making.
The announcer in this one is Tim Kitzrow from NBA Jam.
Yeah, Jam, NBA Jam, and I brought up NHL Hits. He's a huge part of NHL Hits.
Nice. Mm-hmm. What else do we know him from besides?
Because the one I played was on GameCube, and that uses a disc, so it had a ton of announcer clips.
Oh,
but there's got to be like any Midway sports game he probably just did.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, was he just Midway's in-house guy that does all their announcing, or is he an actual professional voice guy. Maybe is he on SpongeBob today or something like that?
Oh yeah. Well, it's a good thing we did no research about.
I'm looking
where the Midway announcer is.
I'm looking at his IMDb. He has 10 credits, and they are all video games.
Fantastic.
And they are all Midway video games from 1996 to 2010.
Any non-sports ones, or are they all sports?
Nope, all sports.
Yeah, because there was like 4 or 5 Blitzes, right?
Yes. Actually, this...
Not to jump ahead, of course.
Oh, yeah. Well, this IMDb is clearly incomplete, though, because it has his first game as College Slam from 1996.
What?
Yeah, not even NBA Jam. It looks like the problem is the like he's done all of the voices in NBA Jam, but the most recent NBA Jam came out in 2010-ish, I think. So he's listed as like the voice for that one.
I mean, IMDb isn't the go-to source for
video games.
Video game information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he's fantastic. He makes this game mm-hmm. tick.
Yeah, and especially
he takes it to the next level, like NBA Jam.
Mm-hmm.
It's still good on its own.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just because this game came out later than Jam, but he has quite a few more lines in this one. And I was transfixed. There's like a 30-minute YouTube video of just all of the voice samples from this game, and I listened to pretty much half of it, and then finally I had to stop because I was laughing too much, and like I really can't just listen to 30 straight minutes of voice samples.
You were rolling on the floor so hard.
Yes.
You almost fell through it.
Laughing your A off.
Yes, yes.
Well, at least a good 10 minutes of it is just saying player names, so you can skip that part. But, yeah, there's some great stuff. Like, if there's, like, blowout, if it's, like, a blowout score, he'll just say, like, what's this other team doing? And, like, let's just look at the cheerleaders. Like, there's a lot of cheerleader talk in the, in the announcer.
That old horn dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just an old horn dog.
Yeah, that was pretty great in that YouTube clip. People are here to see the cheerleaders.
Yep. I only played the N64 version this week for the show, mm-hmm. and all the different, like, I wouldn't call them cutscenes, but like the loading screens between quarters, just like straight up cheerleader ass, like right there, like CG. Fully formed ass, just like right there, with a little helpful hint next to it.
This is one of the games that made you the man you are today.
Absolutely, this is the Dead or Alive of 1997.
Yeah, as we've gone over this before, but for me it was Iron Man's Super Off Road for the one of the Nintendo,
the most obscure
for the NES.
Obscure games.
The NES, as they say in the UK.
I thought there was some arcade game that you played too. Some arcade.
Yeah, it's the same one. It is the same one.
But the arcade one had like the ladies on the side of it or something.
It had them on the side, yeah, and on screen.
So you're like, oh, mom, I'm just going to go play Donkey Kong. And you'd sneak over to Ivan Ramrod's Racing Challenge. A young, formative Todd. So this wasn't at Poncho's. This was somewhere else.
Oh, no. This is some arcade in the mall or something.
Oh, okay.
Poncho's doesn't stoop to this level.
This disgusting level. Horrible.
So I'm looking at Vice Sports has an article all about Tim Kitzrow here. For his work on NBA Jam, he was paid $900, and that was it.
Oh, boy. Did not get points on the door.
Nope. So I mean he has, I'm sure he got paid more for some of the other stuff, but apparently he got paid for most of these sessions at a flat rate. Oh, God, I'm trying to find
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he has
sucks.
To have been
that's gotta suck for him.
Has to have been just some friend of some programmer. They're like, hey, we need to record this, and I think this company Were they in Chicago when they made these games? I can't remember. Somewhere Chicago, not where the talent is. And so they're like, we need somebody to record this. And then some programmer spoke up, like, hey, my buddy is trying to get into voice acting. Let's get him on for this game. Mm-hmm. And it worked so well in NBA Jam, paying him $900. They paid him probably $1,200 to do the NFL Blitz.
Yeah, but you got to think after the first like two, he'd be like, you know, I should maybe rework this contract.
Well, what else is he doing?
Apparently, he was a Second City guy.
Oh, so Chicago is right.
Yeah,
look at that team with the deep cut.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time as Tina Fey, Steve Carell, and some other people. But you know, obviously, I guess he didn't quite make it. And also, just there is an NBA Jam book coming out.
Oh,
so.
Nothing I like more than reading about exciting video games.
Of course.
Just wait for the chapter on Big Head Mode.
Oh, boy.
But, yeah, NFL Blitz.
Yeah, speaking of Big Head Mode, both Blitz and Hits had cheat codes you could put in. Not really cheat codes, but different codes you could put in to modify the what happened during the game and stuff like that. So there's like these three blocks.
Symbols.
Symbols. But three blocks of symbols that you could pick different modes.
Yeah, I pulled up a list here. They have like allow late hits. They have big head mode, of course.
Yeah, a classic. A true classic.
Fast passes. Oh, they have giant head mode too, in addition to big head mode.
Yeah.
Infinite turbo, that's a good one.
That must be awesome.
No interceptions. Oh, no head mode.
they went in the opposite direction. Yeah, you can set the weather to snow or rain.
Yeah. Step out of bounds.
Nice.
Huge head mode.
Didn't you say that?
No, they have big head, giant head, and huge head.
Oh, there's three.
And no fumbles, which is a good one.
Invisible. Wonder what that's like. This is everyone not there.
Yeah, you see your little circle that indicates where you are on the ground.
Oh my god! No interceptions, no fumbles. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
No first downs. What does that mean? Like you could never get a first down. You just need a touchdown. That must be insane.
Yeah, you gotta score, man.
A score. That's it. So speaking of first downs. The first down in this is 30 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So every set of downs is 30 yards. Mm-hmm. Not that the field is that big anyway.
Yeah.
It's probably just like kind of proportional to the size of the field anyway. It's just funny because like you have this like huge pass. You're like, all right, here I go. And it's like second and 12. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I just got so far.
Yeah. Now, the game itself, I found it quite easy to play offense. Could not play a lick of defense.
That is the exact... scenario I ran into is defense was very hard.
Mm-hmm.
Not hard, but it was just like the computer just knew the exact spot to throw it to that I just didn't pick the right coverage for.
Something. Yeah. And I even went in and I changed the options for the... I was playing the arcade version. I changed the difficulty to... Like, they have like 8 different settings. I put it on a 2 out of 8 and it did not matter. I finally beat the computer in quadruple overtime.
That is very similar to my experience.
Yeah, because in this game, thankfully, it doesn't end on a touchdown like a conventional NFL overtime. You play like the whole 2-minute overtime, and it took me until the fourth one to finally be able to stop the computer.
Yep, I mean this is Hits, guys. There's barely any rules. You're playing to the bitter end.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing about it is the barely any rules part, which is no penalties. I love it.
Nope.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Not pretty much, but yeah, no penalties.
Well, the game also doesn't let you commit any penalties. Like you can't, I don't think you can go offsides, can you?
Well, it's more like, you can smash the hell out of receivers before the ball gets there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think I almost went offsides, but I'm like, should they even be allowing this? Like, it's like really close sometimes. But yeah, like just hitting everything. I mean, guys, it's in the title.
Mm-hmm.
Hits with a Z, mind you. This is 1997.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're talking about the wrong.
I'm talking about game. Blitz, guys. NFL yeah. Blitz.
Blitz with a Z. That's how you can tell.
They rhyme. All right. Sorry.
It's more hardcore.
Yeah, and it's also a football term.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys know that?
No,
The term blitz is used in American football.
Oh.
I thought this was referring to London in World War II.
No, unfortunately, that is a somber subject. And yeah. this is a fun NFL arcade game.
Yeah, this game is not an allegory.
We have covered a lot of games that are allegories, but
it's very rare that there's one that is not.
This one's just very straightforward. Two teams trying to score touchdowns. That's it. But yeah, the gameplay is great just because it is so chaotic and stuff like that. I mean, it's hard. Midway, that's just their thing. They know what they're doing when it comes to insane sports games.
Well, they knew what they were doing, and it worked for that decade. 94 to 2000, that era.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So are you saying they've lost their touch?
I'm saying there's no room for these kinds of games in the modern world. Everybody wants hyper-realistic simulations.
Yeah, I'd have to say if they released something similar with like updated, I think the problem is the leagues wouldn't allow that anymore.
Oh, and that's why
probably the real stop.
That's why the series went downhill too, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have it on your agenda here, Steve, but that the NFL wanted less and less of what made the game great. Like no more late hits.
You know, like it's kind of shocking.
It's a huge thing.
It's kind of shocking it ever got made in the first place. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the problem.
There is a modern version available. It's a download only title, similar to there is a modern NBA Jam out as well.
Is it like a emulator roster update or something?
No, they both are kind of updated for, you know, PS3. And
really?
Yeah, because I'm looking. It looks like it's still available.
The 2012 game?
Yeah. NFL
it's for PlayStation 3.
Yep.
And Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, disgusting.
And I believe I think it got decent reviews. It's $14.99. And I know at least for Jam, they did do periodic roster updates, but not as many as you would think. They basically did like one a year. And I think that's part of the reason why there aren't new ones each year is because, you know, the basic gameplay does not change from year to year. And really, there's not much incentive for EA to just, you know, keep pushing out roster updates.
It's just,
I mean, except happy consumers, but
because it's so like chaotic and explosive, like the roster doesn't even really matter that much.
No,
like you're gonna make insane stuff happen no matter what. It's not like Madden where you're like, my juke is 75, but my acceleration is 85. Like,
yeah,
like having different stats and like accurate players, like really just doesn't matter.
Yeah, and as far as I could tell, like when you pick your team, I don't, are there stats displayed or like meters like in
it's
NBA
like
Jam?
It's like overall, yeah, it's like overall meters for like offense and defense and stuff.
Okay, because I wasn't even really paying attention to that, and I was playing as the '97 edition. So Drew Bledsoe was my quarterback for the Patriots,
right?
That classic guy.
he is a classic like, man.
And the play that was most successful for me was just like having all the receivers and running backs go to the left, and then I would just scramble up the right for like 15 yards every play. As Drew Bledsoe, like he was pretty fleet of foot. So, you know, this game was basically meant to just pick up and play, and you can there are not huge differences between the teams. Like, there's no Bo Jackson in this game.
No.
So,
I mean, I just played as the 49ers the bunch of times I played. They had Steve Young and Jerry Rice, so I'm like, all right, the handicap is in my favor here because I need it. But yeah, Steve Young running was fantastic. You just call like a crazy pass play and just bootleg out to the left, like you said.
Yeah.
It was like, well, there's 15 yards.
Mm-hmm. And then I also played as the Broncos, and John Elway sounds very enthusiastic when he scores a touchdown.
Mm.
Like, because they clearly, he was like, yeah, yeah.
Ooh, that's the Elway I know.
Yeah, exactly.
A bundle of personality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some great touchdown celebrations and like tackle celebrations. Not really celebrations, but like literal suplexes.
The tackling, yeah. They pull off many wrestling moves in this.
Yeah, for sure. Like you're getting pile driven and suplexed and all the hits. All the classics.
Yeah.
It's great. For sure.
So just to touch upon kind of where this one is now, NFL Blitz was followed by yearly sequels from 1998 to 2003. At this point, the NFL finally declined to renew its license. Midway instead did games with no NFL license in 2005 and 2008. And here's a short description of the campaign mode in the first one from Wikipedia. Players earn money for each game based on performance and dirty hits performed, and can also earn additional money for gambling on the results of a game. With this money, players can purchase superior equipment, training facilities, and drugs, some legal, some not, that can be used to augment performance. Occasionally, players may be asked if they would like to spend money to send prostitutes to the opposing team's room before a game, an option based on the supposed real-life exploits of game spokesman Lawrence Taylor, which greatly reduces their strength on game day.
That's good stuff. And also, I was reading here that they have, like, since all of the teams are made up, they're kind of a, they're going the Fire Pro Wrestling route, which is they have teams called like the New York Nightmares and the Minnesota Reapers, and they have the quarterback named Mike Mexico, which is similar to Ron Mexico.
Oh, the classic Ron Mexico.
Yep. In 2009,
Midway of the best. Synonyms. Alternate names.
Yeah, Ron Mexico. In 2009, Midway declared bankruptcy and most of their assets were acquired by Electronic Arts. As a result, EA put out a new NFL Blitz game with the NFL's approval in 2012. It was mostly faithful to the original, although it took out the late hits entirely. Yeah. So, that's where it is now.
And that killed the series.
Probably why the series just dwindled away.
I don't know. I guess all of these kind of arcade sports games have kind of fallen out of vogue.
Well, the arcades aren't as big as they were back in the day.
Yeah.
It's cliche to say it, but this is a true arcade pick-up and play game. It's not if you're playing a game at home and you want to relax and play a little footy,
This ain't no footy, man.
Little footy football. You pick up the Maddens and those things that are hyper realistic, and you want to get into the stats. You want to dive deep into it. This is very, very shallow, and it's not what the home players want to play.
Yeah, and
it's like a party game, is what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow,
like it's a fun pick up and play. One of the great things about it is every quarter is 2 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's the very definition of arcade, get in there, score some points, smash some faces. You're going to have fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, and I also guess if you're spending like $40 to $60 on a new game, like I would not pay that much for one of these bad boys. It's appropriately priced at, you know, 10 to 15 bucks, but even then there's so much other things to play.
I mean, it's hard to compare now. Like, if there was like deeper features of a modern game, like a more in-depth season mode or like online play,
story mode.
Yeah, I don't know about story mode, but like, because the franchise mode in this is you're just playing every other team,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, there's really no season or anything.
Yeah.
So if they had, like, some sort of, like, cool season mode and maybe, like, I don't know if trades would even matter, but, like, stuff like that.
The weird games from 2005 and 2008 have story modes where it's, yeah, like, Lawrence Taylor's character is, like, Jerry Sands, and he's trying to, like, end your career because the commissioners promised him $1 million or something like that.
Yeah, of course. That's how football works.
Yeah. This will shock
you. They should do a meshing of genres and mix NFL Blitz, the arcadiest version, with, like, Football Manager.
Well, the 2005 and 2008 games, the story modes were written by the same guy who did Playmakers on ESPN. The famous about the NFL but not about the NFL show.
Yeah.
NFL used its muscle and got canceled. It told ESPN, cancel the show or we will take away your football rights. So
yeah, kind of makes sense.
Yep.
So it's like it's like if Eric Bischoff wrote a NFL show.
Ah, yeah. God, I would watch the hell out of that, though.
I kind of want to see that now.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm not sure. Todd, did you have anything else you wanted to share about the old NFL Blitz here?
Sure. One thing I love about this game, this football game, and I don't play that many sports games, fellas and ladies listening. I don't play that many sports games, but one thing I do like about this, and I'm not sure if other sports games do it, is whenever there's an interception, the game freezes and the camera zooms around and switches views. I love that.
Yeah, that's kind of what you have to do since when you're the offense, the perspective is behind you, like a Madden or whatever. So when an interception happens, you change possession, so the screen spins around the player, and then you're going forward because you're the team on offense now.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a great touch. But yeah, like games like Madden and stuff do that too.
Mm-hmm. It's like the Matrix.
It is. It is.
Oh, one more thing about the arcade version of this game is that Blitz 99 had a Nintendo 64 memory card slot on it. So,
you could
load up. I think you could just load up your playbooks on there and choose and have your plays ready to go in the arcade. Even though I think the plays don't matter all that much, like they all kind of play out the same way, except for the one that Steve was telling, where you have your entire team run to one side.
And then you go the other way. Yeah, I mean, the playbooks, there's like two pages of plays, like, default. And yeah, they're different enough, but, like, it all depends on what the computer picks for defense.
Yeah. And I don't know if this was also in the N64 version, but in the arcade version, you only get, like, 5 seconds to pick a play.
Oh, God, that was terrible.
So I never even really got to the second page of plays because I was too busy, like, looking through the first play, and I don't think I ever did a designed run play. Like, it was always just, you know, very very rarely did the computer defense ever, like, put a spy on the QB or, like, actually defend the QB. So, that was normally what I would try to do. Like, I would look deep, and if that wasn't open, I would just run.
Yeah, there was, like, two or three run plays I could actually pick out. Mm-hmm. And if there was, like, third and three, I would do up the middle, and usually that was just the QB keeping it and running up the middle himself. So every run play for me was pretty much the quarterback running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Yep.
Good time. Well, Huel, did you have anything else you wanted to add about this one?
Nothing in particular. It's just I would say check it out if you have the means, if you have some access to it.
Did you read the manual for this one?
Oh yeah, I did not. Oh man, what a thank you very much. The manual's not as sassy as you think it was, going off like the announcers. It's very straightforward. I'm looking at the N64 manual, of course.
Yeah, it seems like this would be one where they could just fill it with sass.
You'd think that there was a lot of great stuff, but it's mostly pictures of computer generated big muscly men that tell you what the controls are. give you a few tips at the end. But yeah, this is a very simple, straightforward manual, so there wasn't much to report on here,
mm-hmm.
which is disappointing.
Yeah.
A lot of potential.
Yeah, I'm looking at price charting right now. This is probably one of the cheapest games we've ever covered. Where
wow,
there's like 20 different versions of this game for N64, Sega Dreamcast, Game Boy Color, apparently. Yeah, maybe we should have played that.
That
one.
Had to be awful.
Xbox, PlayStation, PlayStation 2. The highest priced one, well, there's an NFL Blitz special edition for the N64. That is $36. Mm. Every other one is between 99 cents and $10.
That's just kind of classic sports game resellability. Yeah. But you'd think the first NFL Blitz. I'm going to do that every time. You'd think that like the first NFL Blitz would have some sort of novelty, you know, mm-hmm. where like people would want it because it's like the first one.
Yeah.
But I could see like all the yearly ones after that would have just no value whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That one is slightly more at $9.88.
Okay.
Still
pretty cheap.
And the N64 ones are the highest priced. I'm assuming because there's probably no load times for them because it's N64. Yeah. So people
the copy I found was loading very fast.
Yeah. So, you know, they prioritize that aspect over the voice samples probably.
Which is disappointing.
Mm-hmm. And Todd, I have one more question for you. This might be a tough one, but how many DuckTales?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, you know, I do like this game. It's a fun one. It's a fun arcade beat 'em up, actually. But I'd have to stick it around a 0.5 DuckTale.
Oh,
it's respectable. Respectable.
If I'm not mistaken, that's above average.
It is. It is above average.
Well, that's good to know. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. On that note, I think it's time to move right along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you receive any emails?
Oh, you know what? I did.
Oh.
I got two emails.
Two?
Ugh.
Both from new writers. Wow.
We're
getting
over.
Popular on the internet, guys.
Look at this. Wow, what an episode.
All right, the first email, it says, "Hello there, basement boys.
Ooh.
What is that kooky Trump guy up to today? I mean, what is his deal anyway? Friend of the show, somewhat concerned citizen."
Huh. Well, he's just a man doing his best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all he knows how to do.
He's got a huge job, and he's just tackling it the best he can.
I just wish when he was on his 2-week golf vacation that he took some time to call in again. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all I want.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to have some free time, so...
He's like Mary Tyler Moore, but just... fat and ugly and not a good person.
Yeah. And alive.
Yes, that too. He is alive.
I think they both are. Am I wrong?
You're wrong.
Yep.
Okay.
You don't have Mary Tyler Moore deathtracker.com as your homepage?
No. I did have the Abe Vigoda one, but that one expired because so did he.
Mm-hmm. No, it's the...
Is Ed Asner still alive?
Yeah.
Wow, he outlasted Mary Tyler Moore.
It's weird.
He's fueled by hatred and
it's weird
conspiracy.
Because he looked about 65 when that show was on, so that's mm-hmm. impressive.
Ed Asner just... I mix him up with George the Animal Steele in my mind.
What? What just, kind of...
They're just big, hairy men.
Little white, short, bald, hairy men.
Yeah.
That's
just big old brutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I can see that.
Yeah, I was like, which one ate a turnbuckle? Ed Asner.
Oh, wow. She expired in January of this year.
Yeah, I think except for you, Huell, we all remember when we learned like of the tragic murder of Mary Tyler Moore.
I think I was on a bender that week, so that might have slipped my mind.
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P. Mm. R.I.P.
So what was the other mail you got there?
Yes, my other mail from a new writer, and they write, "Hey, you fellas, say, would you kindly tell me what your favorite plot twists are in video games?
Oh,
please answer before my Monday pitch meeting. Your pal, Sammy Squaresofts."
I see what he did there.
No, I feel like we've had this question before, but I figured since it's a new writer, let's give him a little bit of airtime.
I mean, this is a massive spoiler alert for anyone. Just in general, these are plot twists.
Oh, this entire question, all these answers are going to be spoilers.
So everyone should skip ahead about 10 minutes in case you encounter a game you haven't played before.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, there's no way for us to know what games we're going to bring up. So
yeah, no one could know. So just don't listen to this part, everyone, and we'll reveal our answers.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
I got one ready to go.
Yeah.
I got this email first. So
give us a chance to
think. One of the good ones. Yeah. It's not like a huge twist or anything, but the classic video game Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, at the end of the game. Yeah, that's a great
end of the game. After you make your family, spoiler alert, you make your family all happy. Everybody's happy on the farm. All the bad guys are in jail, and then all the marshals come to take you down, and you have a slow motion gunfight, and there's no way to win. And you die.
You try to fight back, but there's just too many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what happens then? Your son picks up in your footsteps.
Ooh.
And finishes the story for you.
So nice. Good. Such a great
it's
game.
Seriously, one of the best games ever. It's so good.
I still have not played that one.
I'll probably
give it a shot before the second one comes out.
Yeah, I was actually doing that a month or two ago,
mm-hmm.
but just to get a feel for it again. But I also didn't finish that. So,
all right, I'll give you guys another classic one.
Well, Twists.
You want to go ahead? Go ahead. Yeah, go for it.
Oh, I don't want to. Well, the writer referred to BioShock, so we won't get into that one, but that's a great one.
Oh.
But I want to mention Braid, a game that's come up before.
Mm-hmm.
Where you are pursuing it's a time warping side scrolling arcade kind of thing where you're pursuing a kidnapped princess. But when you reach the end, it turns out time was going backwards, and the person you were pursuing was actually rescuing the princess from you and running away. So it was like a great twist.
Great little twist.
A little twist-a-rooney.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little indie joint. That was indie darling of the decade back in the 2000s.
Oh yeah, that was huge.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like that might have cemented the title of indie darling when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very good. Todd, what was your other one?
Oh, it was just the all-time classic Nintendo NES NES, as they say in the UK, game twist is at the end of Metroid, you find out that Mrs. Metroid is a woman.
Mrs. Metroid.
Seamus is actually a man.
Seamus herself.
Seamus Aranin.
I had another one, but I do not remember.
I was going to say BioWare instead of BioShock. BioWare. They have
a company.
Yes, they have quite a few twists in their games.
They're a little twisty-turny. Yeah.
I think my favorite was in Knights of the Old Republic.
Yep, that's probably their biggest twist out of all their games.
Yep, at the end of that one. And I also liked in Mass Effect 2, it's an early twist where you die in like the first 5 minutes and then you're brought back to life. But still,
oh,
I was like, oh, what's going on? This is unique right off the bat here.
I spent all the last game crafting this character, making choices. Now I'm just going to die?
Yeah, not only that, but you're brought back to life by kind of a terrorist organization that only likes humans.
You know.
Yeah, from the, I don't know, not the bad guy, but kind of the bad faction in the first game in a way.
Yeah.
Outside of like, you know, the Reapers who I guess are like chaotic evil in the game or like evil. But then, Cerberus is not
lawful,
not that great either.
Lawful evil, as you say.
They're like racist evil.
Yeah.
They only like humans.
Well, at least they have the lady from Chuck.
Oh yeah. The Australian lady.
Yeah.
Oh, is that who voices Trainer? Is it?
No, the,
Miranda.
Miranda? What's her voice? I didn't realize that.
Voices.
It's some kind of like Polish name or something. I forget her name.
Voice Ivan Stravovsky.
Yeah.
Or something. More Russian.
Oh.
But they did a face capture for her, too.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Where were you in 2006 or whatever?
I don't know. This does remind me of the Ringers Achievement Oriented podcast, which is about video games. They had on two ladies who do motion capture and stunt work for games, and that was an interesting pod. If you have any interest in that, you should go check it out. They talked all about like the first time they got set on fire for games and stuff.
What?
Yeah, some of their stunt work they had to be set on fire. So
doesn't even make sense.
Yeah,
it's all motion capture. Why do
they want to motion capture somebody? What somebody actually does when they catch on fire?
The most accurate motion capture known to man.
Yeah, well, and apparently, like when they get thrown to the ground and stuff like that, they, you know, most of the time they actually have to get thrown to the ground so that it looks realistic.
Well, that makes sense because that's an actual motion. But like, you could pretend you're on fire and capture those motions.
It wouldn't be real.
I don't understand having to light someone on fire just to capture what it would be like to flail about on the ground.
Well, and also, they have unsimulated intercourse to capture that.
Oh, they were also talking about...
raw dog it.
Oh, jeez. No, they did they did motion capturing for Saints Row 4. Apparently, and I guess that was a positive experience for them, except like the hardest part apparently was they have stripper poles in that game, and for motion capturing you're wearing like a spandex suit, which means you're just like sliding down the pole because you can't actually
stick to it.
So it was kind of a light, funny conversation like that, and I guess one of them, well, she was also doing, I guess, stunt work for Jimmy Fallon, of all things, and they wanted to set her on fire. And it was her first time doing that, and she didn't realize that you wear, like, a tank top and, like booty shorts on if you're doing that. And she did not prepare, so she had to go naked for it. The end.
Ooh.
For motion capture?
Yeah. Well, for it was like more of a Hollywood stunt thing.
Oh, okay.
For the Jimmy Fallon Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon's.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
He shouldn't be allowed to tell anyone what to do.
Let me go. I got three more twists real quick.
Oh, jeez.
I'll just jump through.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Okay.
I won't mention what they are. Just say the name. Portal from 2007. Ooh.
Okay. Yep.
Got good a little twisty in there.
Yep. Portal 2. Portal 2 also.
Yeah, I haven't completed that one yet, so I don't know. Next one would be Link to the Past for the Super Nintendo, The Dark World.
Oh yeah, right.
Okay.
Right in the middle of the game, right?
Yeah.
A little bit of a twist.
It's not a full plot twist. It's just there's a entirely new world to explore.
Yeah.
Next one, or my last one on my list, Final Fantasy VI. Kefka blows up the world, and your party is dispersed.
Oh, yeah.
You have to regroup a year later in a destroyed world. Mm-hmm. The bad guy wins.
Yeah.
Meh. Meh.
Well, let's see if you can do better. Did you receive any mails this week?
I don't know if that's me doing better. I mean, I don't control who writes in, but I did get an email, though.
Ah.
Okay. So they wrote in, "Dear YPB, wow, great Road Rash episode last week. That barrel seems to know what he's talking about. Weird name, though. Speaking of weird stuff, how about that eclipse? Are people still talking about that? The sun was there for a while, and then it wasn't. What a phenomenon. Speaking of stuff that's not here, do you think Sega will ever make a console again? Or is the console game on the way out? Signed, Moonman69 at hotmail.com.
Oh.
Big space fan.
It really tickled me.
Will they make a console again?
Yeah, is the console game locked down? Is it the big three and no one else?
They're hand-holding with Nintendo nowadays. I think they're pretty much set as far as what they're doing.
They just make their games and they're happy with that.
Yeah. I would say if they ever got into consoles again, it would be something like a very tiny handheld that is, you know, just a small system, not a direct competitor with the Switch, but or the Nintendo DS or the PS, whatever their handheld is.
I don't know if that still exists. But
handheld of some kind.
They probably wouldn't want to step on Nintendo's toes. I mean,
mm-hmm.
So what do you mean by like small handheld, like a phone? Well, not a kind of thing.
Oh, here I got something for you guys.
Yeah.
Genesis Classic.
Oh my!
Because if anything, we know that Sega is quite fond of derivative stuff. So I'm shocked they do have a fake.
They have that in common with Nintendo.
Yeah, like they do have a Genesis thing that they licensed out to like third party people that's similar to like the Atari Flashback thing, but it's really crappy. In like it's just emulated games and they don't really work well. So it wouldn't surprise me if Sega looks at how much money Nintendo is making off the Super Nintendo Classic and the NES Classic and it's like, hey, we want some of that. Let's actually put out a good product.
Is Nintendo actually making money? I know they're selling all of their stock that they create, but are they even breaking even on the cost, right? They're creating a system and not selling the software.
What could the cost possibly be? They're not creating anything. They have all these games already. All they have to do is translate them and crank out some cheap hardware.
It's almost all profit.
Yeah. It's all like all profit.
It is cheap hardware.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the classic video game console model where the companies lose money on consoles because they want to sell the games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you don't, there's no way you're losing money making NES or SNES classics. Because you could just have a Raspberry Pi in there and just make 400 games.
Yeah. But Todd, the reason you mentioned is why I don't think there's no way Sega is going to make like a new console like that's meant to compete with like, you know, the Switch and the PlayStation and the Xbox. The only company I would think might have designs on that, like, you know, maybe Steam, maybe even they pulled back from their stuff. But what about Amazon?
Well,
Amazon is dipping its toes into like everything at this point. So
the thing about Steam is they don't have their own games. They just play PC games through their console.
Yeah.
So they don't. It's that model that Todd talked about of modern consoles is you sell the console at a loss to sell games, but Steam would have to keep their hardware so cheap because they're not making any money off games. They're just reselling other people's games. So I guess that model still works, but at the same time, I mean, I guess it's Valve, so Valve makes their own games, but they only make one every 5 years, so I don't know how they make any money anyway. But well, yeah, I mean, it's the second part of the question: is the console game on the way out? Like, is it just going to be PCs? Like, can consoles really survive past another 10 or so years?
I think
it's a deep question. It's a deep question for the email. So.
I think there's always going to be a desire to just have something you plop in the living room, and it just works. But now, I don't know. It almost feels like we're hitting a wall with computing power. Like, how much, and by that I mean, like, how much nicer can games get? They're already pretty good. So, you know, I think at a certain point you might just get locked into some specs and be like, all right, this is good enough.
It's probably that VR is the next leap that we're toying with right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see a VR console, like, dedicated kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where you're not like, relying on a big PC rig to try to actually run anything decent, where there could be just some all-in-one VR thing in 5 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be the next step. But, yeah.
I don't know. I think the console is always going to be around in some form.
Yeah. Even if it's just like your phone or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's a great idea with the Genesis Classic. I didn't even think of that. That could be doable. Mm-hmm. If they team up with Nintendo to be like, hey, you cover the hardware costs. We'll shove some games in here. Let's make some dough.
I mean, I can't even imagine that the hardware cost would be that much unless it's just so so old.
Antiquated?
Yeah, that thing. I just gave up.
You are a writer, aren't you?
Yeah, but I'm not a speaker.
just joshing you.
Yeah, I guess they could just, you know, throw some modern tech in there and then just put a shell around it that looks like the old Genesis.
Yeah, that's all it is.
I just got one thing to say about this.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis does what Nintendo does.
No. talk about a video game twist.
That old chestnut. All right. Well, I received one mail this week.
Oh.
Hey, guys, it's the 25th anniversary of Super Mario Kart. So I have a unique question that you've never heard before. What's your favorite NES racing game? Best wishes, Toad.
Oh, cool. Oh.
Now, is this the original NES or across all NES?
What's the difference?
It does not specify.
What do you mean across all NES? There's only one NES.
Like Super NES and...
Yes, the Super NES is Super
NES. 64?
Yeah, NES is NES.
This is not SNES.
There's no NES 64.
NES Cube.
NES 64 is not a console.
Yeah,
this
is not...
Or the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, this is not the 64 NES.
No, this is just straight
the
up
The Nintendo
NES.
DS NES XL?
The only NES that ever existed.
NES DS.
NES Classic?
Yes. NES Classic.
Probably a game we covered, RC Pro-Am.
Is that the only racing game we've played for the NES?
Yep. That's the only one I can think of.
Well, here's mine, guys.
Pretty
it's
fun.
It's come up previously in this episode. Ivan Iron Man Stewart, super off-road for the NES.
Is there a reason for that, Tom?
Yeah, like trucks and dirt.
Oh, okay. Cool. Trucks are great.
Yeah. Likes to see nice pairs of trucks on the screen. Yeah.
Big, beautiful trucks.
Yep. I see them bounce. Bounce when they
bounce
go over them hills.
Truck, they do. Yeah. Exactly what happens.
My favorite NES racing game is Rad Racer, which is in the Wizard, and I just like that.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, it was kind of weird where it wasn't actually much of a racing game. Like, you just had to like cross checkpoints before time expired, and you got points as you drove. Hmm. So I like that it was a racing game where you were not really racing. You were just racing the clock.
A casual racing game.
Such a sweet baby boy.
Just going for a ride.
Yep. Also, that game made by Squaresoft, of all companies. So, good for them.
Was Excitebike for the NES?
That was for the NES. That was,
yeah.
There you go.
That's a classic right there.
There's another one.
Yeah, one of the first games with like a had like a track editor you could put in there.
I'm gonna write that one down.
You're gonna make your tracks?
No, for future considerations.
Fuel's track tracks.
Just tracks.
We're gonna bend in ourselves. It's inception time.
Oh. So yeah. Now Todd, did you receive any asks this week?
Ooh. Somebody needs our help, guys. So let us ask the sweet boys. Send all your asks in to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, and I will keep it anonymous unless otherwise requested. Now, I had a good one because we're going to have friend of the show Backsack on, but he couldn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll go through it anyway. We needed his expertise, but we'll do this one anyway. And this is from Anonymous, and they write, "Wife came home with no panties. What to do?" "Wife went to a bachelorette party over the weekend. Came back in the wee hours of the morning. No big deal. But I noticed she wasn't wearing panties and she left with some on. She claimed she spilled alcohol in her lap and had to toss them or walk around with vodka-soaked panties." And that's the end.
Mm. Oh, okay. Here's what actually happened. When women get together, it's pretty clear that they can't keep their hands off each other. So there's probably some Jell-O wrestling to celebrate the marriage.
From all the documentaries I've seen, this is completely true.
Or mud wrestling, either one. So things got sticky. Things had to be washed. Maybe something got lost. And that's it.
Hmm. Yeah.
Nothing nefarious.
Who hasn't lost their underwear just when they were out and about for a couple hours?
With the same gender. With mud wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Well, I think what really happened was she was out by herself. And she was craving some Taco Bell. She got a little mud butt. And so instead of getting embarrassed in front of her husband or her fiancé or her husband, whoever. Oh, she went to a bachelorette party. I misread that.
Yeah, that's kind of part of the email.
Oh, okay. So what really happened, guys, they went to a bachelorette party at Taco Bell.
I mean, that's the hot spot for bachelorette parties.
And they just couldn't control themselves. They had like 50 burritos, all you can eat tacos.
Yeah, Taco Bell does it up for bachelorette parties. They just give you trays and trays of tacos.
And she had like at least 8 Doritos Locos. So, I mean, she wasn't feeling that good. And so instead of looking silly when she came home, She just blamed it on alcohol.
Hmm.
Yeah, she was just trying to save face.
Yeah. Didn't want everyone to know about her horrible secret.
Taco Bell.
Oh. Well, on that note, Taco Bell is always a good way to end any night.
Sure.
Huel, is there anything you wanted to say before we signed off here?
Oh, of course there is. And that is that this is a great afternoon for cheerleader watching.
Todd, how about you?
Ooh, the leg drop was a move that nobody really used, and nobody ever hit the ropes and jumped up really high. So I tried it out in Japan, and the people loved it. That's how I came up with it, brother.
Completely appropriate.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention earlier, there's a good article I'll link to about the development of NFL Blitz and how they ever got permission from the NFL for this. Mm. And they originally had things like spine breakers and neck breakers in this game. And those were so severe that they had to take them out. So, like, wow. it was way more wrestling moves originally.
It's WWE Hall of Famer Hulk Hogan.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
Hulk's back.
So, on that note, here is a completely different snifferoo from the game we'll be covering next week.
Another great snifferoo.
So, here is a game we'll be doing soon, and it's different than the one we just did.
It's next week's game has text. Lots and lots of text.
We'll see.